Welcome to That Anime Podcast. This is the full review for the Rising of the Shield Hero Season 2. In this episode, we cover Episode 5, titled Ost Hurai. Hello anime fans and welcome to That Anime Podcast for casual anime fanatics, where we talk all things anime in a fun and uncensored fashion for your listening pleasure. It's me, your host Jordo, and here with me as always, my co-host and kin, the baby brother Brennan. Colton will not be joining us tonight, for he is saving lives as firemen do. Best case scenario, saving lives. But Brennan, how you doing today?
Good, a little sluggish today. I was feeling a little under the weather. Been chilling in bed all day, basically. Watched the Formula One race, the Miami Grand Prix, and then watched Shield Hero 2. So just chill Sunday.
There's bugs going around, stomach bugs.
Yeah, I ain't thrown up or anything, but just tired, feeling a little achy.
Just shitting your pants?
No, not even shitting my pants. Unfortunately.
That's the telltale sign of a true stomach bug, is when you shit your pants.
Yeah, maybe allergy related or something, I don't know.
Shoot, I've been lucky enough to stay healthy, so. But I think that I already had what was going around like 3 weeks ago when I actually got the stomach bug and was sick for a couple days.
Yeah, I don't think that's what I have, just because I haven't thrown up or had to go to the bathroom, which just feel...
Well,
a little off, nothing crazy though.
Well, good. Well, this is the Rising of the Shield Hero, very official Rising of the Shield Hero Season 2 companion podcast. Every Sunday we release an episode about the newest episode of Shield Hero from Season 2. So if you're listening and you've been wanting a fantastic and very casual podcast for this entire season, look no further. This is that anime podcast you've been searching for. We also have all of Season 1 coverage, so just go check out our backlog if you're catching up on Shield Hero Season 1. This is Episode 5. The title was Ost Hurai. And, yeah, Episode 5 of 13, so next week we'll officially pass the halfway threshold. But, Brennan, what did you think of this episode?
I mean, it's on par with the whole season. It's kind of just like a boring show, to put it simply. Like, so now when I'm watching it, I'm like, man, does this show suck? And I just don't even know it. I mean, I kind of know it.
I've been wondering the same shit. I feel like the season one just had so much. So it was so different from season one.
I mean, season one had big long low stretches too. Like, I don't know. This season's not had anything like to hang its hat on, though, whatsoever. And the fact that they even delayed it, like, this season was delayed like months, like 6 to 8 months for this. Like, why? They didn't start on it, or it's just funny to me that this is what they ended up putting out. Which is very predictable.
I don't think that
it's like, I feel like from the opening to the episodes, it's just like, they had like an AI high thing and they made it watch all the Shield Hero episodes and different isekai, and it just generated the opening and all the episodes. It's just very generic.
Yeah. Okay, so I wouldn't say that the show it's a bad anime, but it's each week it's falling closer and closer into the territory where I'm just like, what the hell? Why? Like, it's weekly, and I would watch, whether we had a podcast or we're doing coverage on it, regardless, I'd still watch it every week just because I watched Shield Hero Season 1, but I definitely don't think there's a lot of people talking about it outside of our podcast and our listeners.
I mean, yeah, I don't think I would continue watching it if we weren't doing the podcast. Like, Season 1, obviously, I didn't watch it in its initial airing, but, like, while I was watching it, like, I probably would have finished it just because it was good enough to start. and I would have carried momentum through the 24 episodes or whatever. But like this one, like I don't even watch it till the day of the podcast because like I have to. So it's not like, and I'll get on Crunchyroll and see it's out and I'll be like, shit, I'll put that off as long as I can.
Till you're forced to watch it.
Yeah.
It is only episode 5. It's been a slow start and there hasn't been anything like super surprising happen yet, but maybe it's going to get there.
I mean, 5 episodes is a lot to just like waste on nothing.
But I mean, there's been some Attack on Titan seasons where, you know, 5 episodes in it sucks.
No, they always at least give some reveal or have a big action scene. Like there's always something you can, or they've always had a little something within every 3 episodes that you could at least be like, well, at least we got that. Like the only thing you could maybe say is like, oh, we got character development with freaking Rishia, but like nobody gives a fuck about her. So it's like waste.
Yeah.
Like she's the only one who's grown as any type of character. Like everybody else is there. The selves they were at the end
nobody
of the last
cares.
Season. Yeah.
Yeah, it really feels like Raftalia and Philo. I mean, even now for me, there's been zero growth for any of the characters this like thus far.
Yeah, I mean, not to say they need to every 5 episodes, but like that something's got to happen like within the world. Like I get the turtle,
yeah, the
tortoise
characters
is
we care about.
Like the tortoise is their conflict, but it's just like damn, like a giant moving rock is barely. It's not a real villain.
No. Well, at least we got to meet the real villain this week. But, they're definitely teeing him up. Like, we're supposed to really hate this guy's guts. But let's go ahead and get into the episode. So, here's the episode synopsis, according to Crunchyroll. Nafumi is met by Lark, Glass, and Therese. They're after the person who broke the spirit tortoise's seal and is controlling it. Lark proposes teaming up again. ... That's it. So the episode starts with Ost walking through a fog, and I thought that it was Glass at first. I was like, oh, dang, they're starting off with Glass. Like, this must be after she got her ass kicked by Nafumi. Because, like, Ost, when they first showed her at the beginning of the season, she always had green hair, and now, like, her hair looks black all the time.
No, it's always been, like, black. She's got green eyes, and then Rishi's got green hair, so, like, whenever they chill with each other, which is often, they kind of just, like, give off a green tinge. So you like, and the spirit tortoise.
I kept mixing up Glass and Ost this episode.
Well, Glass, for some reason, is just like, got a character redesign for some reason, got a new outfit, new hair.
Well, she got new weapons, too.
I mean, it's just a random person to be like, to give a new character design for season 2.
Well, I bet you it comes into play. They definitely did it on, like, it's part of the story. Like, I think she had to get new vassal weapons because she got her ass kicked so hard by Nafumi.
Well, she's not using fans anymore?
No, she's using daggers. No. They made sure to make it very apparent. They, like, zoomed in on her attacking that familiar and, like, showed her daggers.
I thought that was just, like, some dagger fans, or I didn't process that.
Yeah, she's got new vassal weapons. But Ost is walking through a fog, and then she's still wrestling with her newfound feelings toward humans, and how she's wondering, like, how could I so carelessly take human souls before, and it was never a big deal, and now all I want to do is save the people who are smiling, you know, same old story as last week. Then she hears some maniacal laughing, and she's like, who's there? And we see a person's silhouette, which we later find out was Kyo. Ost falls to her knees before their power, because we don't know who it is right now. But I knew it was that guy, just based on the laugh, that it was a man. And then she wakes up. And she's back in the turtle's large intestines with Lark, Glass, and Therese. So now we're right where it picked up last time, right after the encounter, and they were outed by Raftalia's spell to reveal the truth. Lark. He kind of seems like he's their leader, but it's weird that he's their leader because Glass was clearly the stronger fighter. I don't know. He explains that they're not there to fight this time, and he says that they're only there to kick the guy who broke the spirit tortoise's seal's ass. And he's like, we should team up. But before he says that, the opening song comes in. Whoa, whoa, whoa. What? What are you thinking about the opening at this point, Renan?
I mean, it's definitely not bad, but like I said, it just feels like they got an AI to listen to the first two, and like they just spat that out, and it's like it's pretty good.
Bring back Dun Dun It. Yeah, they definitely. I mean, it is growing on me. I almost added it to the playlist today, but I was like, I'll wait till next week.
Yeah, I mean, there's by no means anything wrong with it, but it's definitely not a classic.
Yeah, it's a good song though. It's just it is not as great as the first two, but that could just be because we've seen this trick before. It's no longer is it Mad Kid?
Yeah, Mad Kid.
Yeah. If Mad Kid's a one-trick pony, we've seen their trick three times now. So now for me to Lark says, opening song ends, of course. Now we're back to Naphemy. He says, you're here to defeat the one who broke the spirit tortoise. Why would you guys get involved with this? And Ost is like, whoever it was, it probably came from another world, like those three. And so right away, I'm like, hell yeah. So my prediction last week that the person that broke the seal was likely from their party, boom, I was right.
Yeah, I mean, I think...
Which, just, again, adds to the reason we're so upset with the show. This shit's too predictable.
I mean, it's further than the episode, but we've been saying since, like, Ose came in, they're like, she's going to be the spirit tortoise, like...
Yeah, that wasn't a surprise.
It's just like, why they even... They should have just came right out with it at the beginning, and it's like, I don't know. Maybe I'm too old for the show or something.
Yeah,
I've seen too many anime to know what's going on, but if I was, like, 10 watching it, I'd be like, oh, shit. She's a fucking tortoise.
Yeah, that's the big turning point for the show if you're like 15 years old. So we see Glass. She talks for the first time, and this is when I first noticed, like, oh, dang, she's got a new hairstyle. She says that he's trying to take control of guardian beasts across several worlds and make their power his own. It goes against the very laws of the world. And Lark says, I know what you're thinking. We want to kill you for the sake of our world, but he's different. He's willing to make a mess of things in this world for the sake of his own personal greed. And Glass is like, so he must be stopped. Our vassal weapons whisper this to us. So they have vassal weapons, but we also, I think it was episode 2, the queen was like saying that there are vassal weapon wielders among the 7 star heroes. So I feel like that's going to get cleared up soon as well. It has to, because it is a little confusing. They have vassal weapons, but then there's also vassal weapon wielders among the 7 star heroes.
Yeah, I think they'll definitely have to clear it up soon, just because it's a little confusing.
Yeah, it is. We go back outside to the outside of the tortoise, and the severed neck starts pumping. We didn't talk about the fact that, so Naphemy basically turns down Lark's offer to team up because he says he doesn't want to team up with somebody that he's going to have to kill eventually, which I agree with.
Yeah, no sense in building any closer relationship, honestly.
Yeah, and Naphtali looks at him like, Naphemy, and he's like, it's for the best. And I think in him saying that, what he was meaning is like, the last thing we need is to like them at all, because they're clearly okay with making friends and then fighting after, because they did that to him on Kalmyra Archipelago. They like buddied up with him knowing he was a shield hero, and then they were still willing to fight him. But to him and Raftali and Philo, that was a complete shock, because they thought that they were friends.
Yeah, and he already let
Naphemy. I wouldn't want to.
He already let Glass live last season. Up. He should have just killed Glass last season.
Yeah, he should have.
When he had the chance.
Yeah, now she's got some new daggers.
I probably would have teamed up with him and looked to do some backstabbing after the main villain was beaten.
I mean, I think she's got something up her sleeve. That's why she changed weapons.
Well, I was just saying, like, if I was Naphemy, I'd be like, sure, let's work together, and then like. Right, it's the turtle's
head. Stab their ass in the back.
Yeah, the turtle's head's fall. Just turn your attack to them. Let them do the bulk of the work.
I mean, but at the same time, it's like, does he need to? Because he kind of kicked their ass last time they fought.
Yeah, probably not, but it's just they're right there. Why put it off, you know? Yeah. If you know they're coming with the waves, you take them out now. And if worst case scenario, yeah. you don't, then they come back in the next wave anyway, so it's kind of one of those, doesn't really matter what he did.
I'm also still annoyed that they haven't told us how in the hell Lark, Glass, and Therese are able to just go between worlds. It must be because of Kyo,
the book user,
having the book vassal. Yeah.
But he wasn't even there. He was just like freaking, I don't know. I was going to try to use the thing from old Doctor Strange into the multiverse. If anybody's
seen
that.
No, he was there. He was just in the deeper depths of the
I thought
TARDIS.
He was just like using like a projection. And he was still in his world, just like using a different body there or something. Or like using a projection of himself. I didn't know he was actually there.
He was there at the end, but when he first saw them, he was just a hologram of himself.
Yeah.
But he was always within the TARDIS at the very end, whenever he was like, you guys haven't figured it out yet. Guess you're stupid. But Os Turai is actually the spirit TARDIS. If you'd have killed her, you wouldn't have had to kill all those people. You baka. But anyways, let's get back on track. So, the spirit TARDIS starts to regenerate. The queen is outside explaining to all the leaders that the shield hero has gone inside the TARDIS to kill its heart and stop it forever, and that it's up to them whenever this thing regenerates to stop its advance. And she also says that she's going to lead the charge with the knights in order to inspire everyone. Which is like, so you're just going to get killed unless she's got some kind of
she's trying
power,
to raise morale.
Like
I mean, it just raises the morale, you know. She's probably got some power, honestly, but
we haven't seen it yet.
She's probably got something up her sleeve and like some magic spells. Like both her daughters can square up, so
yeah,
safe bet.
Back inside the TARDIS, Reptalia is like trying to talk to Nafumi about the possibility that there's somebody controlling the TARDIS being from Lark's group. And Nafumi's like, yeah, that's possible, but I can't stop thinking about why Glass was dressed the way she was. So they're definitely making it a big deal. Like,
yeah,
Glass,
she had like armor.
Different.
She had like a freaking breastplate. And before she was wearing like a yukata, just like traditional Japanese robe looking outfit, you know?
Yep. Yeah, she looks completely different. So Ost is leading them through the tunnel so they know which way to go. She's remembering more and more as she gets closer to the heart. And then we go over to Lark's group, and they're running toward all the bat familiars because Lark is like, the closer we get to the more familiars, the closer we're getting to the heart. Makes sense. They encounter a goblin-looking familiar, and then this is where they show us the slow-mo, like freeze frame cut that Glass makes with her new weapon, and it was a blade, a little hand blade. Definitely not a fan. Now for me and his gang, they come across a dragon hourglass, and it's glowing blue, and they say all the sand is at the bottom. And Nafumi says he sees an icon with the number 7. We don't ever get to learn what that is. But Ost explains that the sand is a representation of the number of souls the spirit TARDIS has taken. And it doesn't at all look full. It looks about half full from the bottom.
Yeah, it's not up to the middle part yet.
Yeah. And then we also get to see everybody's level. So Nafumi is still 76. Raftalia is level 79. Philo's level 80, and Rishia is level 69.
Nice.
Yep. Lark and them find hearts first, but we learned that it was a fake heart. Their old buddy Kyo got the best of them. Set them up with the multiplying hearts gag, where every time you kill something, it divides into two.
The old classic multiplying hearts. The old Hydra effect.
Yep. Yep. Shit, like in Harry Potter, when you touch the Horcrux in Bellatrix Lestrange's vault, or it just makes two.
The head of the Hydra.
Is that what it's called?
No, that's just like, you know, like Hercules and in Marvel.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's like you cut the head off to grow back.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. So everybody is having a moment with Ost and telling her that she's part of the team and that they'll look for a way to stop the tortoise without killing it and all this stuff. And then we hear some laughing because she ends up leading them down a path, like opens up a wall, leads them down a path, and she's like, this is the way to the heart. And sure enough, it is. They find the heart, and this is where they run into, and we finally meet Kyo F. Nina, who is the guy that looks like Kabuto from Naruto. And of course, he's the wielder of the book vassal weapon. And you can't be the wielder of the book vassal weapon without some glasses.
Oh, yeah.
And this guy's got some glasses. You don't want to be straining those eyes.
And a cloak. A half cloak.
Half cloak. He's got a few potions in his pencil pockets. I mean, this dude's prepped. He's got like, pretty interesting style. Definitely haven't seen a character like him in Shield Hero yet. And he kept looking like he had a lazy eye, but I don't know if that's just how they were, like, trying to make him seem evil. But his eyes were different. Like, one of them was really high up and one of them was low. Immediately you hate this guy. He keeps saying Baka. And the voice acting was fantastic because they clearly casted somebody that knows how to be a character that you won't really want to punch in the face. He can float. Ost tries to hit him with some, like, gravity ball that Mewtwo... It looks like one of those moves Mewtwo uses in Super Smash Bros. But it just goes right through him. And then he tries provoking Naofumi by making harem jokes. And Naofumi's like, dude, if you're gonna provoke me, at least come out here from hiding. And he's like, oh, so you're provoke resistant. Your other three heroes weren't so resistant to provoking. And... for a second, we all thought that it was the three cardinal heroes, but he was actually talking about Lark, Glass, and Therese. So he fooled their asses with the Hydra hearts. He eventually disappears. The heart that is of the tortoise, it grows eyes, and it starts shooting beams at Naofumi. He uses Meteor Shield to deflect it, and Ost is like, yeah, we've activated the heart self-defense system, and so now it's just trying to kill them, basically. So Philo jumps up, kicks it with a spiral strike, and you can clearly tell that it hurts Ost. And then Naofumi, being the heartless son of a bitch that he is, doesn't hesitate, and he's like, Raphtalia! And Raphtalia's like, hi! And she goes in, she's going for the slash, she looks back at Ost, and Ost is like smiling, like, yeah, do it, just fucking do it. And Raphtalia does it, she slices that heart right in half. And basically kills Ost temporarily. And I was going to be pissed if she didn't do it. I was going to be like, are you serious?
I mean, she basically didn't. If she's still alive, like, I mean, just like...
But I guess she couldn't have chose to not, because Naofumi basically... I guess he didn't give her an order. She is a slave, though, so she has to listen to him. He could have just been like, Raphtalia, kill it! But... Ost has a dream, and basically what I got from the dream is that she actually has a slave crest is where it is. It's the exact same location and style as the slave crests that Rishia and Raphtalia have, but it's in the shape of a sea turtle.
That's what I was going to say. That's what I said when I was watching it. I was like, it looks more like a sea turtle than a tortoise.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with this, the mangaka, but there is a difference in a tortoise and a turtle and a sea turtle. Because it clearly had fins for front legs. I don't know. That was weird. But Ost wakes up. She's fine. She explains that the tortoise is also still alive. Which at this point, the tortoise has no heart, no head, and it's still alive. So it's getting slightly annoying at this point that the thing can't die. And thus confirming almost everybody that's probably watching this show's theory that Ost-Hurai is actually the tortoise all along. In about 2 minutes, it is confirmed by Kyo. So they find him. He's like, I welcome you. Can't believe you found me. Didn't think you'd make it. This is the deepest depths of the spirit tortoise. And he's basically saying, like, oh, it looks like you guys haven't figured out, other than the shield hero and Rishia, you must be idiots. But Ost-Hurai isn't a familiar. She is the heart. She is the brain. You could say that she's the spirit tortoise herself. And the episode ends.
Yeah, till next week. Nothing really. Nothing to be excited about.
I mean, yeah. And, you know, another thing I'm disappointed about this episode, the freaking Lark's gang came in and they didn't do anything. Like, just how many, nobody is useful in this show except for Naofumi and people directly under his command.
Yeah, that's just how it's been set up. Like, they're just there to, like, give people some hope, make people, fool people into thinking that, and they may do something before the end of the season, but right now, they haven't hit on any of the five episodes.
Yeah. I don't know. Last week, I thought was a pretty good episode. This week was just barely okay. But overall, I'm let down by this episode. Next week is the halfway point, so we better get some good shit. But everybody that's listening, if you're freaking loving this season, fret not. We will continue doing the weeklies, regardless of how much we end up hating or loving this show. We have committed to doing the season two, so you're going to get it. But because of how bad it is so far in our opinion, we're also doing two episodes a week so that you have another episode to listen to. Because we know not everybody's watching this show. It's a very niche fan base that we pretty much support alone. But go check out our Bubble episode too that we released this week. Make sure you watch the movie on Netflix first, though.
Yep, go watch it if you haven't.
Much better watching experience than Shield Hero Episode 5, Tidal Dose to Die. But, also, everybody listening, if you could go to Apple Podcasts and or Spotify, hit us up with a 5-star review and some kind words. Man, we would freaking just really appreciate you. We'd virtually hug you if we could. We'd really appreciate it. So thank you in advance for that. Brennan, do you have anything else you want to say?
Nope. Thanks for listening. Yeah, go check out Bubble.
All right. All right, everybody. Next week is episode 6. I'm Jordo.
Brennan.
We are the Evans Bros. Have a great week. Oh, yeah. Thank you for listening, as always. Have a great week. And peace out.